many of them return to their place in this way, thanks to the help of God's spirits. Is such a spiritual village, which Heinrich spoke of, still in an earthbound sphere? Joseph, yes, such spiritual places are also earthbound. Above the earth, probably. Joseph, above the earth, very close to the earth and partly entwined with the earth. Dear Joseph, Heinrich said that he was an unbeliever in his life. Well, before he was incarnated, he was also somewhere in a sphere and definitely found that there is a rule of God. Joseph, yes. Why then did none of this knowledge of the Spirit come through in the new earthly life as a human being? Joseph, yes. That is precisely why there is the incarnation. The soul, the Spirit, is clothed in the human body. He comes to a new world and is further away from God there and no longer has this contact in the same way. As a human being, however, he must be strengthened by the teachings that Jesus Christ brought. They must be able to take root in him, he must be able to believe in them. If he can do that and finds God in human life, then he will participate more strongly in his ascent and thereby accelerate his spiritual ascent. You must never forget that this world, the people on this earth, as they live, are under another ruler who holds the scepter. It is the lower spirits, it is Lucifer, to whom the earth has been given as a kingdom of conquest. He conquers people. But people must escape from him. They must make their position clear with body and soul, that they are going to God's side, want to stand and live on God's side. Dear Joseph, isn't it also the case that the soul that is incarnated must master just as much strength and bring strength with it so that it will find faith sooner or later? Joseph, yes. Everyone, when they have failed in life, must return to the same post again and again until they have achieved what is required of them. Dear brothers and sisters, I am withdrawing. May God's blessing accompany you, protect and preserve you from every hardship. Greetings from God. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Heinrich and question answers from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Münchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, tape recording. Headline, next case, April 7, 1965. Mathis, in the service of the tormented. Liberation from painful memories through an insight into the diversity of God's creation. Control Spirit, greetings from God. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit brother by the name of Mathis is speaking to you. We hope that these explanations that he gives you will also be of instruction and edification to you. May God's blessing strengthen you and enable you to understand what is given. Greetings. Mathis, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Mathis. There is nothing special to tell about my earthly life. I was in charge of a large family. We had 9 children, and my parents also lived with us. I was a glass painter by profession and lived in Austria. We lived as devout Christians and tried to be just and to keep the commandments. We prayed together every day and never missed a Sunday service. Through my sense of duty, through my devotion and sacrifice for my family, I have earned certain merits for the spiritual life. I have always had a desire to help those in need. My relatives had also done this. It was therefore the custom in my family to help and support the poorest, whether by giving them a meal or some bread, or by helping them out with clothes. We helped and gave as best we could. When I entered the spiritual world, I was amazed at the welcome I received. My parents, who had long since entered the spiritual world, came and greeted me with great joy and explained to me, "Now you no longer have to worry about your daily bread. But you can also help the poorest here if you like." And so my mother said, "We don't lack work here. We can live in bliss, but we still have to work. But the work will not be as arduous as it was in human life." I took in the words of my mother and her companions. They all showed great joy that I had come. For my part, I was actually relieved. I had taken care of my family, and those I had left behind also seemed to be in good hands. So I did not need to be afraid or worried about my family and how they might fare, especially since I, like those who had stayed behind, had great faith in God. My life partner came shortly after me into the spiritual world. We were allowed to stay together for a while and didn't need to do anything special in the first few days after our retreat. The work would come later. But then we were separated. It was made clear to us that there was no standstill in the spiritual world in which we now lived, but that we had to continue striving for ascent and that we could conquer a beautiful place in God's world if we were very diligent and obedient and made an effort to promote the plan of salvation. It was explained to us that there are so many who live in misery and that there are many who come to us in the world beyond who are very restless, dissatisfied and full of fears, because the new world into which they have now entered also brings surprises for one or the other. Some probably expected something completely different from heaven, and there are also those who are simply not satisfied with this new world, who cannot come to terms with it. I was then told that in this respect one must support these returning home. There are so many brothers and sisters who one must support, and since I had already tended to be helpful and good in my human life, I was recommended to extend this willingness to help to my brothers and sisters in my new home. I was also explained how this should be done. At first I was actually more of a spectator and did not have much to do myself. My task was to carefully observe how my teachers treated the returning home. Later I was to be able to work in this way independently. So I will now tell you about the experiences I had that made the greatest impression on me and were the most beautiful things I experienced. Because at the time I had not been able to imagine heaven as it really is and what goes on there. As a human being, you don't even think about it, you don't think about how things will go for you or how things might go for those who have burdened themselves in this or that way. In faith, you talk a lot about the grace and love of God, and if you have lived as a pious person, you want to get to know this grace and love very soon in the new world. You also have no real idea about Christ's work of redemption. So, depending on the task you will be carrying out in the future, you must first be taught about the plan of redemption. That's what happened to me. However, not everyone receives this instruction so soon after entering the spiritual world. But since they recognized that I was willing to serve and help again, they gave me a task of this kind. And so I'll try to tell you something about my work. People on earth can be very cruel, especially when wars are raging. They can lock up the enemy, as they call it, when he has fallen into their hands and is their prisoner, and get something out of him by torturing him. Unfortunately, this happens very often. It also happens that someone who does not agree with his own government starts spying, but then one day ends up in the hands of his fellow countrymen. This happens among you people. But woe betide those who are caught. They have a bad end. But there are also those who are locked up, tormented and finally killed just because they have different views or because of their beliefs. And so the opponents find quite a lot of ways to accuse the accused in such a way that they are found guilty and possibly sentenced to death. However, I do not want to go into this in detail. How cruel people can be is something you know from the last wars or from the wars currently being fought on Earth. And now you can imagine the fear of those who are locked up there, who are being tortured and waiting for death, who do not know how they will be killed, but who have become aware that they must now die. The spiritual world does not abandon these people either. It does not even turn away from those who are unbelievers. There are missionary spirits who take care of everyone, whether they are believers or unbelievers. Because that is the love of God. They want to help everyone as best they can. But you will certainly understand that a believer, God-oriented person will certainly receive better care than an unbeliever. So I was assigned to the missionary spirits and was now supposed to help these poor people. The missionary spirits have ways and means of calming these tortured, fearful people. They have spiritual means and they use them. They apply it primarily to those who surrender to their fate and hope in God. The missionaries' tri-spirits try to calm these children of men as best as possible so that they can bravely set out on the path to death. The spiritual means they offer them are different. A person can hardly understand or see this unless he is clairvoyant, clairsentient or clairaudient. The missionary spirits can give the suffering and distressed person a spiritual drink. This drink contains substances that calm his human organism, but this also strengthens and calms his soul. The spiritual drink is a means that is often used by believers and non-believers. Another way is for the invisible hand of the spirit to rub a liquid over the person's face, over the forehead and over the upper lip. These spiritual means also have a calming effect. In this way, these missionary spirits, out of the love of God, stand by people's side to make their path easier. The effectiveness of the means, however, depends on the attitude and will of the person concerned. With his resignation to fate, he creates the best conditions for calming down, and the means can become effective. But those who are filled with hatred until the last hour and resist dying, these means cannot have their full effect. This is just for your instruction. So in the early days I stood by these oppressed people, once a believer, a pious person, once an unbeliever, who, however, as the hour drew ever closer, said to himself, "If there is a God, then receive me with mercy and forgive me if I have not believed in you." There are some who have these thoughts in their last hour. But there are also those who do not believe in God at all. Well, I had great joy in assisting those believers, because I was not only allowed to offer them this drink or pour this oil over their faces or stroke their foreheads or lips, I was also allowed to be there when they opened their spiritual eyes. I would then stand there with my vessel and tell them that I had assisted them in their last hour, had given them courage and calmed them down. Usually they stand there with their eyes wide open and hardly understand what you are saying or what you mean. You have to give them time first. Those who have to leave this life in such a violent way do not have it so easy in the spiritual world at first. You have certainly received many explanations from our spiritual brothers and sisters over the years that those who return home, depending on their spiritual level of development, enter the world that is appropriate for them and that they are looked after, how some are given a careful, loving welcome, while others are greeted with reproaches. So it all depends on what you did in your earthly life. So I will now tell you about those who died in faith in God, who, before they had to take this difficult step, were still physically tortured. A certain number of them are cared for together. There are always many who enter our world in a similar way. Even if they lived without faith in God, they are not immediately greeted with reproaches. But first I will tell and explain about those who died in faith. They are led into a house together in a group of 20 to 30. This house has different rooms. First they are led into the room where they can sleep. First they should rest. When I stand in front of such a person who has returned home and say to him, "I have given you strength and calmed you down," he still cannot quite understand it. He is amazed that life goes on. So, without giving him much explanation, he is led into the house to sleep. His approximate rest time is calculated. Then, when it is assumed that the greatest unrest has now subsided, he is woken up, or he wakes up on his own. In this room, where these poor people are allowed to sleep, there are also spiritual guides, guards. They observed the sleeping people and go from one to the other. When one opens his eyes, the order is immediately given that he should get up and leave this bedroom. He is led into another room to the others. "And now I do not want to stay with those who are sleeping, because there is nothing special to tell except what I said." Spirits of God go from one to another and observe him. "I now enter the room where those are who have awakened from sleep, are amazed at the afterlife and have many questions. But first I would like to describe the surroundings. The house to which the believers in God were led is in a park. You can look out into this park from the house. You people who have in your houses have windows through which you can look outside and observe your surroundings. We in the spiritual world also have windows, but not in the way you have them, because the glass through which you can look is earthly matter. In the spiritual world there is also glass, but as spiritual substance, as spiritual matter. And these windows, to express myself in your terms, are very large. For example, an entire wall is such a window, and from the you can look out into this park wonderfully. There are, of course, beautiful trees in this park. They are mainly palms and cedars. All kinds of colorful birds swim on a beautiful pond. They are water birds. They look very beautiful. They enjoy themselves on this pond, and when they feel like it, they leave the water again and waddle through the alley. The eyes of the brothers and sisters staying in this room are wide focused on what is happening in the park. They are amazed and have questions upon questions. They had no idea what heaven might look like. They would never have believed that there were actually houses there. They had also not known that there were animals there, nor that there were trees of such a beautiful kind. They now began to take an interest in this new world and forgot the painful time of their human life. Each discovered something different and pointed it out to the others. And so they had a pleasant conversation and no longer complained and moaned about what had happened. The new things that were coming their way were too interesting to think about what lay behind them. One or the other was overcome by sadness at times, but then he breathed a sigh of relief and said, "I am glad. I have it all behind me. I have survived it. Why should I mourn it anymore? Why should I talk about what has happened? I want to enjoy the future now. I want to live in the future." And so they supported each other in this opinion. Beautiful spirits of God came again and asked them whether they liked it here, whether they felt any discomfort, and they immediately brought them food, fruit, or something to drink. The siblings were so proud that they were being looked after in this way. This new world had a great influence on the siblings, and they now wanted to experience this new world. If this small park was so interesting, how would it be in the rest of the heavenly world? What must there be to admire? One could not stop being amazed here. Suddenly one of them called out, "Look over there," and pointed to a cedar tree. This cedar had its branches bent down towards the spiritual earth. "Look, there are small creatures on the branches of this tree that look like dolls. Just look." They were all very attentive and interested, as was I when I experienced this for the first time. Small creatures were hopping around on these branches. They were about the size of a small doll that children play with. They were so beautiful and so delicately dressed and floated from one branch to the other. It was something to marvel at. And yet they also waited to be told what kind of creatures they were. It was clear that they were not birds or animals, they were small creatures. So their eyes were fixed on these creatures for a while. Then one or the other retreated back into the room. Here there were all kinds of comfortable places to lie down. You could rest and you could talk. When someone had made a discovery that particularly interested them or that they had just seen for the first time, they would call out to the others, "Look what I see there again." And those who had never seen it before, who had not been in this house for very long, also tried to look out into the park and they discovered something new. All of this new world, changed the thinking of these once so fearful siblings. Their feelings changed. If they had previously been depressed and no longer felt any joy, their observation and experience now awakened their joy and their interest in the new life. While one sees these little beings, the elves, who also exist in the spiritual world, another calls out, "Look over there, by that bush," and describes exactly where this bush is. "Something strange is moving there." And I say, "And I'm amazed," he exclaims, "they look like our garden gnomes." But they weren't as deformed as people make these gnomes. In fact, they were quite beautiful figures. They were small, but they weren't children, you could see that. They looked very pretty, and these beings, we call them gnomes, began to work diligently. They pulled branches along. And our spirit brothers and sisters were all amazed. Even those who had already observed similar activities of the gnomes were once again surprised by the enthusiasm of these little beings. So people were amazed and wanted to know what was going on. The elves hopped around on the branches, went very close to these gnomes and in turn began to tease them a little. But now these gnomes did not let themselves be disturbed, but, as one soon saw, they built huts in various places in this park, and only out of branches that they had collected. Below is Visionary Art of Gilbert Williams on this theme, plus more if you click the right one, not from, in a rig.book. And one had to admire the whole thing and marvel at how they had so skillfully built such a hut. Now one was naturally curious about what was actually going to happen, whether they lived in these huts. Some of the brothers and sisters who had been staying in this house, in this room, for some time said, "You always see them, these gnomes, but as quickly as they hop around, they disappear again." But those present had never seen them doing what they were doing now, this zeal, this industrious work. Now the time seemed to have come for these huts to be finished. Now the gnomes brought chairs to a place. They were also made only of branches, very skillfully and beautifully. But there were only a small number of chairs, one of which was particularly beautifully decorated. It was immediately clear that someone special would definitely take their place on this very beautiful chair, for this chair was designed as a throne, had a long backrest and a small roof, and all of this was made of interwoven branches. This beautiful throne was decorated with white and colored feathers, but only this one throne, while the other chairs were simply made of branches. In this way, the worries that these spirit brothers and sisters had had, and the memories of the past difficult hours that came back to one or the other, could be overcome. I observed that people were crying and laughing. They had not yet completely overcome the difficult hours they had experienced on Earth. The experiences were still present. On the other hand, they were overjoyed to have escaped this difficult and worrying world. In this way, these spirit brothers and sisters comforted one another and said to the next person, "Don't think about what happened anymore. Come, watch instead, strange things happen here." But I would like to add, these spirit brothers and sisters were not allowed to leave the house. They had to stay in this room, but they had a wide view. Now the spirit brothers and sisters waited for the exciting moment when something was going to happen. Because the preparations had been made, there was surely to be a big parade here. And that was the case. Soon, fine, delicate sounds could be heard, but everyone had to listen carefully to hear these sounds. It was the elves on the branches who were also drawing attention to this parade with their small musical instruments. It seemed to us that the elves were even more beautifully decorated and dressed, as if they too had prepared for a party. We looked at the pond with its water birds. They seemed unconcerned by everything that was going on in the park. They swam there and left the pond again and waddled around in the park. They took no notice of what was happening. Then, amid these fine sounds, which were so delicate that you had to listen carefully to hear them, the gnomes came out of the park. It seemed to be a whole procession of gnomes. So they were holding a party. They were all adorned with feathers and flowers. And there, in the middle of the square where this beautiful throne stood, was the first stop. The first to go was one who, as we were told, was the leader of this group of gnomes. He was the only one wearing a train, while the others were only adorned with feathers and flowers. A crown adorned his small head. It consisted of small white feathers, and in the middle at the front there was a colored bloom. The train was also made of fine feathers. The spirit brothers and sisters joked sometimes and asked themselves, "Where do the gnomes get these fine feathers from? We don't want to assume that they plucked them out of the animals." But everyone was happy about what was offered to them. And truly, this leader took his place on his throne. His train bearers had prepared the place for him, and now he seemed to be speaking to his people. We could not hear what was being said, because everything was so quiet, including the music they were playing, which was barely audible to us. But it still seemed to us that something important was happening among these gnomes. Self-evident, of course, we remained quite quiet and looked at everything with amazement and admiration. After a while, the gnome leader got up from his throne. To his right and left sat some for whom chairs had been prepared, while the others had to stand and listen. Then they withdrew to their huts. Now and then one of them came out again and, as it seemed to us, went to visit another hut. And so the hustle and bustle went back and forth. In the meantime, the divine brothers and sisters visited us again. They all had such happy faces, and whenever they came, they brought each of us something. My job in this house was to look after these brothers and sisters, and if anything happened in any way, I had to report it to the spirits of God. I also had the option of leaving this room and devoting myself to another task in between. But I could always return to this room and look around for those whom I had also helped in my earthly life. The gnome festival lasted for a while, and then the gnomes made preparations to leave. They gathered together briefly and all left as quietly. They were bid farewell with this quiet music, as they had come. The elves also seemed very curious. When this group had gone, they climbed down from the branches and then went in and out of these huts. They went onto the roof of the huts and did all sorts of funny things together. Then a few gnomes came back again. They were the ones who lived in this park. We also saw them teasing each other with these elves. Then everything was taken away again, the chairs were taken away, and the huts were dismantled again. We did not see where they went with the branches. They disappeared again, and a time of peace came again. So they were prepared for something new. New life would certainly develop here again. But then an angel of God came. It was a leading spirit who now stepped in front of our whole group and said, "We have given you a small insight into the diversity of God's creation. This insight has served to make the memories of your earthly life forgotten. Through this experience that you have had here, we have given you the opportunity to gain an insight into the great diversity, into the entertaining life that can be offered in God's world. But on the other hand, we would also like to make you aware that from now on you have to earn this beautiful life in the spiritual world." The angel explained to them that God's grace and love is immeasurable. Those who had endured suffering on earth would be cared for in the spiritual world and enter a world of bliss. They would be able to admire and marvel at heaven, because they were called children of God. This childship of God, however, would commit them to their later spiritual life. They would now have to be active in order to be able to absorb and admire the further diversity of the spiritual kingdom and to participate in its development. The Spirit of God also said, "You will only stay here for a short time, and then we will lead each of you to the place that we believe is suitable for you, so that you can continue to fulfill your tasks there and from the begin your ascent. This new path, however, is a path of work," explained the angel, "and it would not be possible to experience something like this again so quickly. Their experiences would then be of a different kind. Now spirit brothers and sisters would deal with them, assign them work and teach them. They could now live their lives in the new world with courage and confidence." And so the time came when they all had to vacate their places to give others the opportunity to heal the wounds of their souls and to overcome the thoughts of dissatisfaction and unhappiness by allowing them to experience a tiny part of the beauty, variety and entertainment of the world beyond. Now many questions had arisen for everyone. They were occupied with many things, but they could not now think about these individual things. Why are there elves here? Why are there elves at all? Why are the gnomes? Why have they come here? All of this was to be explained to them much later, much later. They were to take this experience with them and enjoy it. And then they were all led out and the place was free again for others. But I do not want to speak now about the tasks of those spirit brothers and sisters, because they were so different from one another, but they all occupied the same level. Everyone was led to where he could carry out an activity according to his abilities. So they had managed to overcome their pain. They had no feelings of hatred. They only had admiration for the new world, for the love and grace of God. At the beginning I explained that those who were unbelievers in their earthly life also receive their support. They are also led to such a care home, if I can call it that in your terms. They too are put to sleep at first, but the care is not the same. The surroundings are not the same either. Their house is far away from the splendor of colors. Nevertheless, the spirits of God take care of them. Their house, the room in which they live, does not give them the opportunity to look out into the distance and admire so much. Their eyes only see a little green, but otherwise everything is a desolation. The returnees who have gathered in this room and who have awakened from their first sleep also receive a drink from the spirits of God now and then.